Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because right now we have with us our good friend Craig Roberts, and Colonel Roberts, retired from the military. He actually was in Vietnam. He worked for the Tulsa Police Force for many years. He's written 10 books. We carry two of his books today, The Medusa File and Kill Zone. But Craig has some fascinating information, and through the years I found his information has been very, very accurate and worthwhile, and I think, well, it's very important you hear what he has to say. Craig, thanks so much for being with us.
Always glad to be back, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us what your thoughts are. Now, of course, everybody's heard about the recent bombings today. Apparently, they weren't quite as bad as before. In fact, it doesn't sound as if they really intended to do a very good job, as if for some reason or other they just weren't as effective in putting these bombs together today as they were 2 weeks ago. Doesn't quite make sense, but what's really going on in your estimation?
Well, you know, it's hard to say what's going on over there. See, the problem with the UK is that during the days of the British Empire, they expanded all over the world, and especially into a lot of the Islamic countries. They created the country of Iraq. They, of course, went into Pakistan and India and were there for years and years and years, and China as well, and other countries. And because of that, they created a law that said that any person from any of those countries, right, including the British West Indies and so on, was automatically a British subject if they wanted to be. So many people moved into England specifically, you know, the UK, but specifically England, and settled mostly in the London area, that it was incredible. You go to London now, and it looks like you're in Bangladesh. When you walk around and look in the shops and so on with all of the stuff that's gone on. Last time I was over there, it was incredible how many Asians had moved in. And when I say Asians, I use the English term, which actually means Indians and Pakistanis and so on. Well, a lot of them are Hindu, but a lot of them are Muslim. Well, so there's an inherently large Muslim community for the size of the country. Of course, you know, England's not very big. We got states that are bigger than England, but, the size of the country has a very large Islamic population, and it is so hard to keep control or keep track of who comes and who goes that terrorists have pretty much an open ticket to go into the UK as subjects or relatives of subjects and so on. So there are different mosques and terrorist cells all over England, and specifically in London, that like we had in Brooklyn, you know, when we had the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, working out of a mosque in Brooklyn. Our country has basically done a similar deal by leaving our borders open. You know, to this day, we cannot get an answer out of the White House. What are you going to do about the borders?
Well, I don't think they have any intention of closing the border. They want the problem, because if they didn't have a problem, how could they come up with their solution?
Oh, correct. And today, isn't it interesting that this bombing thing in England just happened to be on the day they were debating what they're going to do with the Patriot Act?
That is a great coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing that, guess what? We're going to have to renew this. In fact, we're going to have to make it stiffer, because we have to take care of the American people. I was watching some of the politicians on television just a little bit ago, and their thing is, well, yes, we have to worry about the Constitution and civil rights, but we have got to tighten up and take care of the American people. Security comes first, and that gets a little bit scary.
Hold on right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon on Radio Liberty is Craig Roberts. And Craig is a retired lieutenant colonel from the military, from the Army, and he served in Vietnam. He worked for the police force in Tulsa, Oklahoma for many years. He's the author of 10 books, at least, probably more than that. We carry 2 books that he's written, The Medusa File, A Kill Zone. We recommend both of them. And of course, we've also carried another book he wrote about the missing witnesses. That's out of print. Maybe we get that back in print sometime. But right now, Craig is talking about what's going on. He's talking about the tremendous influx of Muslims into Great Britain because of the British Empire, and the fact that because of the British Empire, they could come in readily. And then, of course, you have this in London itself. You have a very large Hindu and Muslim population. Operation, and then he commented how coincidental it was with the bombings today. The senators and representatives back in Washington, D.C. suddenly are going to insist on having this Patriot Act reenacted. Certainly many of the clauses there, the provisions were to sunset. In other words, they would end. But now, thanks to the cooperation of the terrorists who were so intent upon, what they were doing, they did everything they could to time this just so it would go with the terrorists. The Patriot Act was, of course, being reconsidered in the United States Congress and in the Senate. What a coincidence. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, we've got this problem that we've discussed before about this open border, and not just the southern border. We're talking about the northern border as well, because we're getting reports of Middle Easterners coming in through Vancouver, through British Columbia, and going down into Seattle and Portland, Oregon, and so on like that from the Pacific Northwest. We have the same thing coming in from Mexico. And I recently talked to a friend of mine who's a former Army Ranger who now works as a volunteer watching the border in near Tucson, Arizona. And he was telling me that they would find houses along the border that had been abandoned. They're ranch houses. They've been abandoned by the ranchers. They just gave up. The government won't do anything to protect them. The sheriff won't do anything to protect them. So they just leave their property and go. Because it terrifies them that they're there in the middle of the night and they've got all these illegals coming right across their front porch and stopping and getting water and leaving trash and, right outside their bedroom window. And no one will come and do anything about it.
And the thing is that the government refused to enforce the laws. You have to ask yourself, why is that?
Well, exactly. But the point here is what they're doing now is they've left these houses. And these illegals that are coming across are using them as safe houses. They've just moved right into them,
Hold that thought. We're going to bring out stations right back on board here. Well, Dr. Stan, Craig is talking about the safe houses down along the southern border. The ranchers have moved out of their houses because the federal government and the state government and the local government refuses to protect them, refuses to do anything, and they were living in constant terror as the people were coming across their border and going right on their property and around their house and surrounding it, and they really didn't feel safe, so they've moved out of the houses, and now many of these houses have become so-called safe houses for the people coming into the United States illegally, who are being encouraged to come in by the people in Washington, D.C., who are not upholding their oath to uphold our Constitution and protect our country. Oh, we can send all of our troops over to Iraq, and we can spend hundreds of billions of dollars over there, but we can't even try to protect our borders, and we're not trying to. And they're doing everything they can to encourage these people to come in, offering them all sorts of benefits and making it impossible for even local police to arrest the people and turn them over to immigration. Nothing makes sense unless you understand this is part of a much bigger plan. So pick up the story, Craig, please.
Well, one of my friends was on a patrol that was checking some of these houses. As they approached one, they arrived at the house right after several people had just left. And they left in haste. They evidently saw them coming and took off and ran out into the desert. But when they got inside, what they found was Islamic prayer rugs, a copy of the Quran, several different books in Arabic, a backpack that had a notebook in it with a lot of pages written in, including maps and things like that, and some other stuff that had to do with the Middle East. So they picked all this stuff up, and they got with the Border Patrol, and they turned it in, and he said that these guys were young males of military age that they saw leaving this house, and all of the indications where they were, these were not Mexicans, these were Middle Easterners. So they started investigating this, and what they found out was that there were Middle Easterners who were paying up to $12,000 and some of them up to $20,000 apiece to these coyotes to guide them across the border and get them so many miles inland. And they were waiting in line south of the border to come across. It wasn't just one or two here and there. There were several that were coming across. Now we couple this with the information that's come out that Al Qaeda has allegedly come across 20 nuclear mini nukes, backpack type nukes that they've gotten from the Russians, and they've purchased these things, and they allegedly got one or two already across the border, and the others are close to becoming transportable to come across the border. And that gets kind of frightening. Now, when we couple that, as an old intelligence officer, what we used to do is we used to take bits and pieces of the puzzle, we put it up on the wall, and we would see, what kind of picture it formed. So we take that information, we take the information of the safe houses with the Islamics in it, we take the information of military age, we take the information of the reports of how much they're paying to come across the border. We take the reports of the nuclear weapons that the mainstream media will not touch. They're not going to talk about it. They're not going to scare anybody, I guess. And then we take the information that, such as August, 6th was the going to be the anniversary of Hiroshima. And Al Qaeda says they have a plan that will be America's Hiroshima. Now, you couple all that together, and you put the possibility of them setting off a mini nuke in one of our cities, or two, or three, or four, or five, on the 6th of August, and then a few days later on the anniversary of Nagasaki, that would be Project Hiroshima. That would be something that would definitely get our attention, and if something like that happened, you can just imagine what it would do to our society. And now we're not talking about a giant A-bomb here. What we're talking about is a small nuclear explosive that would probably take out 7 to 12 city blocks, and it would create a dirty environment there where you couldn't go in there, and put a little bit of fallout in the atmosphere. But if you did that in several cities across the United States, the panic alone would be incredible. Martial law would be set up, and we would have highways shut down, we would have border checkpoints, we'd have all kinds of things erupt all of a sudden. But the problem with this, Dan, is this. I look at it from the military side of the house, and it's easy to say, well, I am now declaring martial law. But the problem is, logistically, how do you support it if all the troops are in Iraq and Bosnia and Macedonia and Afghanistan and South Korea and Japan and every place else in the world, but they're not at home? We've used up the military. We've used up the National Guard. We've used up the reserves. We've cut our logistical strength down. We've closed bases. We've reduced the number of planes in our fighter squadrons. We've reduced the number of ships in our fleets. We've reduced the number of our submarines. We've used up all of our high-dollar weapons. We don't hardly have any of our really, intelligent weapons left anymore because we used them all up. We haven't replaced them because there's no threat from the Soviet Union. When we couple all this together, there's no one home watching the chickens. So if you declare martial law, who do you call? Well, as Barry McGaffrey said, when he was, he was a general at the time, Commander SOCOM, and he was at Fort Leavenworth giving a lecture to a CASQ class, which is a command and staff type college, to a bunch of graduating captains and majors who were going to staff school there. And he said, because of the build down of our military, I love that word, build down, if we have a national emergency at home and we're deployed on two or more fronts overseas, then we will be forced to call upon foreign assets to patrol our streets. Now, this is a Pentagon plan. Who are these foreign assets? Okay, now, let's just jump track a minute and just look at what else has been going on. Thanks to some of the treasonous people who've been held high office in this country, we've given away the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal is now controlled by COSCO, which is the People's Liberation Army Navy. It's the Chinese. They have set up a forward deployment station in Freeport in the Bahamas, and they stacked all kinds of stuff there. If you could go to Freeport, the Bahamas on the internet and look up COSCO or Hutchinson Whampoa, you can see the biggest sea lift type cranes in the world are there in the Bahamas, which is basically a tourist resort. and they've taken an entire bay over, and there's these giant sea lift containers that are stacked 6 and 8 deep over there. Now, this is only 80 miles off of our coast. You couple that with the fact that we've intercepted shipments of Chinese arms coming into California through Long Beach. We've intercepted them coming in through Texas, Corpus Christi, through Dade County, Florida, and someplace up in New Jersey. And here's a, you know, a big Connex box or a sleeve container that's got AK-47s, you know, machine guns, explosives, and stuff like that. And they say, well, it was contraband that was going to street gangs. Yeah, I believe that. Like, street gangs are going to make a deal with the Chinese to take a freighter load of military weapons. So, you know, you couple these things going up, plus them wanting to set up and take over some Air Force bases so they can bring stuff in for Walmart, I guess, who knows. And I got a serious problem here. Now, we also have had reports of Chinese males of military age coming into Panama, getting off ships, and then disappearing. Well, you can disappear from Panama, and you're on dry land. You can make it from Panama all the way up to Mexico. We know that there's Chinese have been seen south of the border in Mexico. We've had reports of people saying they on the border they've seen Chinese soldiers, and they've also seen Mexican soldiers, and with them people who look to be Asian with the Mexican Army patrols along the border east of San Diego and down in through Arizona and even close to Fort Huachuca in New Mexico. So when you couple all these things together, we've got, you know, all these reports of China being involved. China is a member of the UN. If we had a national emergency here, such as terrorists, I'm just painting this wargaming a scenario here, and we had to call upon help because we are declaring martial law and we've got to do something to clamp down on the movement of the population until such a time as we can gain control of this emergency, who would we call? Who's big enough to come here and actually patrol streets? Well, you got China and you got Russia, and that's basically about it. Now, when we say Russia and add them to the mix, isn't it interesting that we spent I don't know how many millions of dollars bringing Russian and Hungarian and Czechoslovakian and Romanian and all these other kind of troops over here and train them at Fort Polk, Louisiana, at the big combat town that they've got down there that looks just like downtown USA, by the way, on house-to-house search and seizure. And then we send them home, they build combat towns, and they train their own people on how to do this. You know, this Operation Cooperative Nugget that they talk about, that they've done this with, and they say that it's all because of the New World Order. This is the general speaking. Now, we've got it on tape where they get up there and they say, you know, here's another graduating class that's joining the army of the New World Order. And they don't even blink about it. And the American people go, oh, well, I don't know what he's talking about. But these guys are going home, and they're building cities that look like American towns. They don't look like someplace in Eastern Europe or Russia or Kazakhstan or someplace like that. They look like someplace in Southern California or in New Orleans or in New York. You know, they don't look European. So what are they really training for? So when you add all of these things up, it's a very frightening scenario that we are right on the edge of something. At the same time, we have all of these terrorist events happening around the world with all of these, you know, human bombs and all that. And Iran now has recruited over 1,000 Islamic women who have pledged to take training to become human bombs, suicide bombers, women, and with a specific purpose of coming to the United States. What do we hear our government saying about it? Nothing. What do we hear about our mainstream media saying about it? Nothing. So it's almost like we've been pushed out there in front of this giant herd of stampeding animals coming at us, and there's no one there to stop it.
And it almost would appear that we're doing everything we can to facilitate it. After all, it's our tax money that's training these foreign troops. Why are we doing that? I mean, it's our tax money that's guaranteeing the loans to build up communist China, their 5 nuclear power plants. They've got $650 billion of our money. Why do we have to guarantee loans to communist China? Why are we always giving money to the Soviet Union so they can protect their biological weapons and chemical weapons to dismantle their nuclear weapons, which, of course, are building as rapidly as they dismantle them? Why can't they spend their own money? Well, I think that nothing as it appears to be. And when we get back, why, Craig Roberts is going to develop this idea. Ladies and gentlemen, we're, of course, in real trouble because America's turned their back on God, and There's no instance in all history where that's happened and God has not retaliated.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that their listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Craig Roberts. Craig, go ahead.
Well, you know, when we've got the scenario where we have wide open borders, we have everybody that's come across that they wanted to, you know, to come across, and then we back up and we look at what happened in the past. Now, we go back to the Oklahoma City bombing, and when we were working on that, we found out that, that 12 of the people that were helping McVeigh and Nichols were Iraqis. They were in Oklahoma City. They were working for a PLO guy there that had some property, and they would go out and work on his property and on rental houses and so on. In actual fact, they were terrorists. And they had a terrorist cell ready-made, working with Hamas and some other groups in Oklahoma City.
But Craig, why would the government cover that up and conceal that fact from the American people?
Well, it went a direction that the Clinton administration didn't want it to go, because when we checked, these guys all came over here, were brought in by the U.S. government. They were Iraqi POWs who had fought with Saddam Hussein against us. They were Republican Guards. This particular group was Republican Guards. And these were the same guys that blew up all the oil wells in Kuwait at the end of Desert Storm. And 3,500 of these POWs who'd fought against us were brought over here through Carlisle Barracks, Pennsylvania, and then scattered all over the country in 10- and 12-man groups, ready-made terrorist cells. You know, this is a government that left their own POWs behind in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, and here we bring these guys over here, we settle them here, we give them jobs, and we give them money. You know, and no one knew about it. This wasn't a big humanitarian thing about, oh, they just don't want to go back to Saddam Hussein because he'll execute them or something like that. This was all done in secret. And it was the American Legion and the VFW found out about it when they were investigating some other issues that had to do with the U.S. government paying to have houses built for Russian officers in Russia because they didn't have adequate quarters. After the fall of the Soviet Union, they said, well, you know, we don't have any place to put our officers, and they're going to get disgruntled, and we don't have any money, and so we said, well, okay, well, we'll just build them houses and pay for it. We don't even have adequate housing on our own military bases for our own personnel, and we're building houses in Russia for the Russian army. You know, I mean, what is wrong here? So they're looking at this, and they stumble across the deal of these 3,500 Iraqi POWs who were brought over here at taxpayers' expense. And then scattered all over the country. And once these guys got in place, what they started doing is they started making connections with each other. We looked through phone records on John Doe 2, who was with McVeigh, and we found out that he was calling a house in Fort Worth. And I got a hold of the sheriff at Fort Worth at the time, and we investigated that and found out that this place was used by six or eight Islamic types who, you know, males of military age who lived there and came and went as kind of a safe house. But what it turned out to be was what we call a phone bounce. Now, a phone bounce is where they would call this place, and this place would turn around and call someplace else long distance across the country and then hook the two phone calls together so that if we traced a call from, you know, point A to point B, it would stop there. We wouldn't know this guy was actually talking to point C. Now, in this case, our John Doe 2 was calling this number and then getting connected with a jail in Brooklyn where Ramzi Yosef was. And so we're pretty sure he was talking to Ramzi Yosef. Well, what else backs that up? Well, we have Nichols, who went to the Philippines, and he was meeting with Abu Sayyaf over there, which is the Islamic terrorist group. And when he was there in 93 and 94, he was meeting, even in 92, he was meeting with Edwin Angeles, Muhammad Wali Khan, Sheikh Mohammed, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and Ramzi Yosef. So, you know, it turns out to be a very small world at that point. So we've got a government that brought terrorist groups into this country, and immediately afterwards, in 1993, we have the World Trade Center bombing, and in 1995, we have the Oklahoma City bombing, and then in 2001, of course, we have the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and so on. And every time this happens, on every single one of these occasions, we had massive legislation waiting in Congress to be passed, and they couldn't get it over the hump. They couldn't get this stuff passed. Either it had to do with gun control or, you know, civil rights or whatever, the Constitution. And anyway, each time we had this major problem come up, and it passed. You know, we had the Omnibus Crime Control Act of 1996 passed only because of the Oklahoma City bombing. And now you got the four bombs in London today, and we've got the Patriot Act up for renewal on the same day.
Isn't that an amazing coincidence?
Oh, it just always surprises me what happens at the D.C. level.
But of course, the American people can't connect the dots. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Craig Roberts, and just hold your calls. We want to give Craig a chance to get his story out. His information is valid. There really were these terrorist cells? There really were other people working with the government? To this very day, they will not release the tapes taken out in front of the Murrah Building, but nobody ever asked why.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and Craig was talking about the Iraqi cell that was working in Oklahoma City at the time of the Oklahoma City bombing. And Craig was a police officer who was working on this, initially recruited by the FBI, but you see, the FBI was being directed by Washington, D.C., and they were told not to follow through on these things, and so Craig and a small group of people kept up the investigation on their own. This has been totally suppressed across America, because the last thing they want the American people to know is that there were other things as far as the Oklahoma City bombing. There was a John Doe 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and they were Iraqis, but we can't let the American people know that. And you ask yourself, why? Why don't they bring that out? Maybe that could tie back into Saddam Hussein and somehow justify our invasion over there. But this has been totally suppressed by the controlled media. So pick up the story.
Well, the problem that we ran into when we were investigating the Iraqi connection is that we found out that there was also a Mexican connection. And the Mexican connection had to do with drug money, and it had to do with a guy named Juan Garcia Abrego. And Juan Garcia Abrego, information came in, was a Mexican drug lord south of the Texas border, and had a big chunk of the cocaine running at the time that traces all the way back to Iran-Contra. And by going back to Iran-Contra, that takes us into all the players that were involved with that gig, which is, you know, everybody from the CIA, from Colby all the way down through Ollie North to all of the players down to Panama, to Noriega, and so on, including George Herbert Walker Bush Sr., who was vice president at the time, who was running the Contra operation from the White House. So So when you get into the guns for drugs, for money, for Contras, for et cetera, if Iran-Contra, these are the guys that pop up on the radar screen. Now we've got Juan Garcia Brego gets reported as providing a bag full of money to help finance the bombing. And you're going, well, what does this have to do with Oklahoma City? Well, what I got was a federal agent, or a guy that at least told me he was a federal agent and out of Arkansas, out of Little Rock. It called up the second week after the bombing and told me that he thought that the key to the whole thing was the records that were in the building. And I asked him what records were those, and he said the records that they sent out of Little Rock, which was their investigation of the drugs money smuggling and money laundering and stuff that was going on from MENA all the way up into Bentonville.
In other words, it had to do with Clinton and covering up Clinton's crimes.
Well, if you go by what Terry Reid says, then the Clintons were knee-deep in this stuff. Because he was governor of Arkansas at the time, and MENA was operating as a transshipment point and an airplane modification place at Rich Mountain Aviation, and the state police in Arkansas were guarding the place.
In other words, but this was all had to do with drugs, cocaine smuggling.
Well, it did, and big money, and so if they moved the records to the Murrah Building, and we know on day one to back this up, that within an hour of the blast. That they brought in a team of about 50 guys to go in, and they pulled everybody back, and they brought in this team of about 50 guys, and they went in and they started bringing records out, and we had victims trapped in the building, and they were ignoring everybody that was in the building, they were ignoring people trapped in the rubble that were screaming for help to bring out records. Now this building, if you go to and look at the offices that were in the Murrah Building, there was nothing in there of importance. There was no FBI office there. There was no the only military offices there were recruiters. There was a very small ATF office there that just handled local stuff. And everything else was like housing and urban development, social security, a daycare center, an empty floor, some meeting rooms, you know, stuff like this. So there wasn't anything there that was top secret that would require a team to come in and worry about paperwork. This is garbage stuff. So what was in the boxes they took out? Because these guys disappeared to Never Never Land, and we never did find out what was in these boxes. So then we have this agent call up, and he says that he thought that these were the boxes and files that they had sent out of Little Rock that was implicated the Clintons and several other people in the upcoming congressional investigation of MENA and a second look at some of Iran-Contra that was going to happen in May of 1995. Well, there was three investigations that were going to occur. One was the Ruby Ridge. One was Waco. And one was going to be MENA. Well, the Congress in May investigated Ruby Ridge, and late May and into June they investigated the Waco incident, and then they didn't do anything with MENA. And I think it was because the records had disappeared. So that comes back to kind of haunt the case. Another thing that recently came up. That we found out about, thanks to Jesse Trinidad's work over in Salt Lake City, is that we now know that Andrew Strassmeyer was informing to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, most people are going, well, yeah, so what? Well, one of the things that stuck out on day one or on day three of the bombing was we were looking for Middle Easterners. We had APBs out for Middle Easterners. We were looking for Middle Eastern males in blue jogging suits. We'd even caught one and brought him back from London. The whole thing was showing this to be a typical Islamic terrorist event, right in heartland America. The same kind of people that did the World Trade Center bombing of 93. It was all fitting together. But then, all of a sudden on day three, they raid Nichols Brothers Farm up in Michigan, and immediately the entire media machine switches over, and now they're chasing the right wing, the militia. I mean, everybody from Rush Limbaugh to Pat Robertson and everybody in between, you know. The KKK, the Aryan Resistance, the Aryan Nation, the skinheads. I mean, this whole, and I'm going, wait a minute. Out here in the field, we don't have any connection to any of that bunch. You know, we're chasing Arabs here. What is the deal? What's going on here? So I started tracing this down, and we find out that the media is getting all of its information, as the FBI is, from the Southern Poverty Law Center and from the Anti-Defamation League of the IBRIF, the ADL. So I'm thinking, what is Abe Foxman and Morris Dees have at stake in here? Dees, with the Anti-Defamation League of the IBRIF, should have been the organization jumping up and down and screaming and yelling, saying, see, we told you, Arab terrorists, they're here too. We all have to get together and fight Arab terrorists. But he didn't do that. Instead, he reinforces Morris Dees, who goes after everybody in the right wing that doesn't have anything to do with this case, and basically derails the investigation. And this is where LOM City starts popping up on the radar screen. And they go into this Christian identity movement, and they go into Andreas Strassmeyer, and does he really know McVeigh, and so on down the line. Well, interesting development happens here just recently that we find out about due to some Freedom of Information Act work, is that Strassmeyer has direct connections to the Southern Poverty Law Center and evidently had been informing to them previous to the bombing. Now, this is a kind of a scary thought. This means that the Southern Poverty Law Center may have had advanced notice of the bombing, if this is true. And we can't get him to answer this. We can't get him to answer yes, no, or otherwise. And I don't know what it's going to take, probably a lawsuit on behalf of Jesse Trinidad. But the bottom line is this. While this is going on, we've got Andreas Strassmeyer, who is informing to Morris Dees, but who is the guy that spirits Strassmeyer out of the country when everybody starts to give him a hard look? None other than Kirk Lyons. Now, who's Kirk Lyons? Kirk Lyons in Black Mountain, North Carolina, is Strassmeyer's lawyer, but he's the same lawyer that defended the KKK. He's the same lawyer that defends the White Aryan Resistance and the Aryan Nations and all this bunch. He's the one that was, defended Metzger when Metzger got sued by who? By Morris Dees. And so you've got Dees on one side using Strassmeyer, and you've got the guy that's Strassmeyer's lawyer, his alter ego. You've got Kirk Lyons, who spirits Andreas Strassmeyer out of the country through Mexico and back to Germany without him ever being picked up by the FBI, without him ever being questioned. And we got the FBI memos where they're reporting that Strassmeyer is at Kirk Lyons' place, and that they've received information that he might try to make a break out of the country through Mexico. We have that. But yet they didn't go pick him up. They didn't talk to him. They let him go.
And don't forget that Kirk Lyons was also involved in Waco. He was defending the families and trying to prosecute the government. In other words, he seems to be on all sides of all positions. In fact, he sat here in my studio, on the very day of the Oklahoma City bombing, talking about what had happened in Waco. So he's a very, very strange individual. In fact, his fellow was with him, did everything to convince me that, it was the truck bomb. It was the truck bomb that brought down the Murrah building when there was no way it could have been. So there's a lot of unanswered things about Kirk Lyons and the people that surround him.
Well, between Lyons and Dees and Foxman and all that bunch, the entire investigation was really derailed to the point to where the federal government just simply quit working it. They said, we've got Lee Harvey McVeigh and Lee Harvey Nichols, and we're done. End of story. We got our man. We're out of here. Now, when Nichols came to trial in Oklahoma, they tried to enter more evidence showing other people being involved, and they wouldn't let it into the courtroom. When they went to trial in front of Judge Mache up in Denver, they went up there and when they tried to bring in evidence of all of these others that were involved, Mache didn't want to hear it. He said, I only want to hear if this man is innocent or guilty. That I want to hear about him right there. I don't want to hear about anything else. So none of this could ever be brought out. The FBI, it became persona non grata for them to even look at. On day three, when Janet Reno and Louis Freeh said there is no Middle Eastern connection to the bombing. This is orders from Hillary and Bill. There is no Middle Eastern connection to the bombing. This is what they announced on day three or four or something like that out of Washington. The FBI immediately put the brakes on and said, we aren't going to look at that. We cannot go look at Middle Easterners. We can't go that direction. We're going to have to go after the militia and the skinheads and the neo-Nazis and all of this stuff. And I'm talking to them and saying, what are you guys talking about? We don't have any of those guys here. We got eyewitnesses that pick out all of these Middle Easterners. We don't have any eyewitnesses picking out militia guys. I mean, the militia would come down here and guard this building. They wouldn't blow it up. They were going to blow up something. It'd be the UN building. I mean, you guys pull your head out. What's going on? And they just looked at me and they said, once we're told from Washington that, there's a certain area that we don't go to, we don't go to. We're told what to investigate, that's where we go.
And, of course, there's another interesting aspect of this, and I know your good friend Charles Key has told me that he has a copy of a letter that Timothy McVeigh had written to his sister saying, It's a secret, but I am working as part of a secret special forces team involved in illegal activity that was brought up in a book written by a fellow named Jim Keith, who died very mysteriously shortly before his publisher died very mysteriously, shortly before his wife died very mysteriously. So we see this pattern over and over again. Was Timothy McVeigh really part of a special forces team involved in illegal activity working for the government? Charles Key says he has a copy of the letter, and I believe Charles, and I know you know Charles very well.
Well, you know, we know that McVeigh left Fort Riley, Kansas to go to Fort Bragg for special forces. We know he arrived at Fort Bragg. We also know he did not go through special forces training, but instead he disappeared. Now, at one time he was shown as AWOL at Fort Riley, Kansas, which was his home unit, and then when we talked to him again, he wasn't AWOL, he was discharged. And so I'm going, well, okay, you're either AWOL or, and you get a, you know, a bad conduct discharge or a general discharge or something, or you're not AWOL and you get an honorable discharge. What does he have? Well, they couldn't tell me. He went to Fort Bragg. Fort Bragg handled it. Well, you talked to Fort Bragg and it was like, well, he got here, but he didn't pass the PT test, or his feet hurt, or his back hurt, or he couldn't carry a pack. And every time you talk to him, you get somebody else, you get a different excuse why he didn't go to Special Forces School, which I knew for a fact was bogus, because you do those tests before you ever leave home station. You do screening tests if you're going to go to jump school, and when you get there, you've got to run 3 miles at a certain amount of time, and you got to do so many sit-ups and push-ups and so on. You already passed that test at home station before they spend a dime on moving you to Fort Benning. And it's the same thing with Special Forces. You go through a screening test before you get there to make sure that you're eligible. Now, then when you get there, they probably give you another one. But the point is, he would have made it. And here's a guy that, you know, he's a pretty tough kid, and he was Soldier of the Year, and he made E5, Sergeant. He got a Bronze Star or something in Desert Storm, and then he goes to Special Forces School and wimps out at the last minute? I don't think so. But then he disappears. Where does he appear again? He appears working for Calspan Incorporated up in Buffalo, New York, as a security guard for a company that does highly classified contracts for the federal government. And he's working in security in that. Now you're not going to be AWOL from the Army and working as a security guard for a government contractor, because they're going to do background checks on you. You wouldn't even show up there and put in an application because you'd get caught. So then he starts telling people up there about the different things about the government, and here's the Turner Diaries, and the government's out to establish a new world order and get us all, and yada, yada, yada. So what he's doing now is he's building a legend. And building a legend is what you do to infiltrate into other groups and have some kind of background, just like Lee Harvey Oswald did when he passed out Fair Play for Cuba pamphlets in New Orleans, right outside the offices of Guy Bannister, who was a big promoter for... He was a federal agent, but he was a big promoter for the anti-Castro Cubans, and he had anti-Castro Cuban training sessions there at Lake Pontchartrain, and he had equipment and rifles and everything crated up in his office on Camp Street, right around the corner, in the same building, on the same street corner, is the Fair Play for Cuba Committee with one member, Lee Harvey Oswald. So, so he's building a legend, and he makes sure the TV sees him saying, I'm a Marxist, and, you know, we got to treat Castro fair, and he's passing this stuff out. Well, here's McVeigh doing exactly the same thing.
You know, I think it's the most amazing thing. When he's caught, you know, after he's blown up the building and killed, I don't know, 168 people, he's wearing this T-shirt that says, what is it, freedom, resistance to tyranny is loyalty to God or something. Anyway, all this patriotic material in his car. Why would he be carrying all that in his car after he's committed this heinous crime? And he's carrying a gun, but he could have shot the officer that stopped him, but he didn't. The whole story just doesn't make sense. It was almost as if it had been scripted.
Oh, absolutely. So he goes to jail in Perry, Oklahoma, and he's out of circulation. He's off the road. They're looking for guys out in the street. We're looking for Middle Easterners, and he's sitting in jail watching all this on TV, thinking he's safe. And if it wasn't for that trooper, Charlie Hanger, who said, hey, that sketch right there of John Doe 1 looks like the guy I put in jail yesterday in Perry for speeding, and he had no license tag on his car. And lo and behold, it was McVeigh. But what was interesting, Doc, is I looked at this, and I'm sitting in a room full of police officers, and we're watching where they're towing his car off of I-35, where he got stopped. And they're hooking up the record to his car. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, wait a minute. When he was stopped, he was a speeder. Had nothing to do with anything. Had nothing to do with the Oklahoma City bombing. Where did the cameramen come from? What news organization sent cameramen by helicopter or whatever up to film this car being towed when at that time he was nothing more than just another speeder?
What a strange coincidence. Hey, well, Craig, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Well, could you hang on just for just a minute till we get to the end of the program? Somebody did call in with a question, and we will want to take that after we have a quick break here, okay?
Sure.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through 8th grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child...
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon has been Craig Roberts. Craig, what can people do at this point?
Well, you know, I don't know that there's a lot left to do, because we've been sounding the trumpet and beating the drums for so long now, trying to wake people up to what's going on. And I don't know, you know, other than preparing yourselves for what can happen, I think it's extremely important that we take care of our families and do what we can to see if we can weather whatever storm's coming up, because something's definitely coming and no one's doing anything about it. That means, you know, doing stuff to filter your water, having, you know, food supplies stocked up for a while, medical supplies, and so on, and definitely be ready to protect yourself and your property. I mean, Anybody that thinks that they can go through a storm like this and not have a gun in the house is crazy. You better, you know, get something and learn how to use it. It's going to get down to neighborhoods and neighbors and families being able to take care of themselves, especially if communications break down, different types of roadblocks are put into place, checkpoints, and so on. If you're not prepared for this, you're going to be at the beck and call of the nearest guy that pulls up in a bus and says, load your family on board, we've got a place to take you.
Amen, and I think that we have to, first of all, understand that we're in difficult times. We have to understand the spiritual forces that are at work here and of course, prepare for difficult times. God bless you. Thanks for everything, Craig, and I hope we can get you on other programs. I think we need to get your message out. People need to know we're in real trouble as a nation.
No, we'll see you next time, Doc.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I would like to suggest that you heed what Craig has said. We keep telling people, get prepared for difficult times. Understand, we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. There are evil and wicked people out there, but, of course, they are motivated from the dark side. And where is the outcry from the Christian leaders telling people to prepare for difficult times? Where is the outcry from our leaders saying, don't you know that the leaders of both the Republicans and the Democrats are in favor of open borders? Don't you know that the leaders of both the Republican and the Democrat Party know about these other terrorist cells that were operating there in Oklahoma City at the time of the Murrah building bombing? And none of this got out. Well, what we need to do, of course, is to reach as many people as we can in the time that we have allotted to us. We're trying to expand our audience. We have an opportunity to pick up an additional 18 stations. If you want to do something, help us reach people throughout the Middle West. And if you're in a position to help, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. My job is to try to get people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And, of course, the forces aligned against us control the major media and the wealth of this country and the central banks and the foundations and many of the corporations. And, unfortunately, all we have, hopefully, we're on God's side. And if the American people would turn back to God, I think that God would protect our country as he protected Nineveh at the time of Jonah, but I see very little sign of revival at the present time. So our plea to you is understand what's going on. Help us reach as many people as we can. Tell others about our program. Get them listening. Get them involved. Get them preparing to look after themselves and after their families. And understand, really, that both political parties and the leaders of both political parties are going exactly the same way. And if you think that the new Supreme Court justice that they've just appointed is going to save us, why, I think you're in for a sad awakening with a realization. If you look and see what he said about Roe versus Wade, he said exactly what Alberto Gonzalez said. Well, it's been determined as a matter of law. No, the law has not been determined by the Supreme Court. The law is the Constitution. The Supreme Court are men who have an agenda. And what they've done is they put up Alberto Gonzalez, and he was so bad, and now we have Judge Roberts. He must be good. Let me tell you that when he was appointed to the appellate court, why he had the full support of the Democrats. I wonder why that was. Pray for America. Pray for revival, and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.